sponsors, just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Argyle at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues. It's always our desire to have you join in the dialogue and discussion, asking your questions. Some have used the term that I just want to get in my 2 cents worth. Well, we'd be delighted for you to do that today. We're going to talk about we must vote biblically. We must vote biblically. All we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is look back at the history of the world and other nations through the prism of the Word of God, looking at the Old Testament in particular, and understand that in any nation that turns its back on God, any nation that rejects God, God will absolutely judge that nation and allow other nations more wicked than they are to come in and control and dominate that nation. The nation of Israel discovered that time and time again. They would wander away from God, turn their backs on God. God would allow the nations to come in, dominate, control, and rule them. They would weep and moan, as I would call the term, repent, turn back to God. God would bless them and again bless them over and over. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental problem that we have in America today, it's not necessarily political, though it is. It's not necessarily military, although it is. It's not necessarily philosophical, though it may be. It is spiritual. And this election, ladies and gentlemen, November the 5th, in particular, we're speaking about, with the decision that we'll have to make as citizens, will determine the destiny of America. Ladies and gentlemen, just a glimpse of the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, and the various speeches, we should recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the overwhelming majority of what the Democratic Party is pushing today has very little to do with programs and policies that will protect America. Their major focus there, speaking of the Democratic National Convention, their major focus is on the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda of making America a socialist society with only the haves and the have-nots. That's what we're faced with. And we'll get into the depth of how that affects us, what we should do in the state of Florida. And we'll get into a particular issue in relationship to the Sixth Amendment that's on the ballot for the state of Florida, November the 5th. We'll be looking at primarily Amendment 4. That amendment is the murder by way of abortion. And just a few moments after a further monologue, ladies and gentlemen, we'll introduce to you a very special guest that we have today to talk about Amendment 4 and what we should and should not do. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, dealing with his disciples, speaking to them, made this statement: if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is true, the scripture says. Then in Psalms 117:2, the scripture reminds us, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So as we view issues, as we look at the political parties and the digression from God's word, for the most part, in a single party, we need to recognize that God's word doesn't change. The scripture says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And ladies and gentlemen, if God judged Israel for they're turning their back on God, what's God going to do to America? We go back to the truth book. We should look at everything through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It was the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, that made the statement, the further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And all you need to do is listen to about, I can't handle more than about 5 minutes at the time of the Democratic National Convention and their speakers. Doesn't take but a minute or two of listening to the speeches to realize they mishandled the truth royally. But ladies and gentlemen, truth still matters. Whether you agree with truth or not, whether you disagree with truth, it doesn't make any difference. It still matters. But yet we find, I'm looking at a headline that says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article goes on to talk about the latest survey. Points out that 55% of the Americans, 18 to 35 years of age, the millennials, say this. Each person determines their own version of truth, and there is no such thing as absolute truth. Therein lies the problem, ladies and gentlemen. That is the issue that we're faced with today in America. This is the reason you find Joe Biden would stand. In fact, he did at the convention this week. And 80% of what he said were absolute lies. But yet he wants to blame and claim that Donald J. Trump is a liar. And yet we find that being promulgated out of the DNC. In fact, let me just do a little footnote, ladies and gentlemen. I just discovered with some research this morning that the Democratic National Convention has a prayer room set up for the Islamics. Secondly, they developed the bathrooms as gender-neutral bathrooms for those at the convention. They wanted to make a point, ladies and gentlemen, of spitting in God's face. They want to make it a point that we're going to do what we want to do and not what is biblical or not what honors God. This is the reason we're talking about today. We must vote biblically. We must vote biblically, not politically, biblically. That means a great deal of difference in how we cast our votes as conservatives and Christians and patriots in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the statement by 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge. Seeking it, that's the truth. Listen to the truth, live it, learn it, tell it, and be willing, ladies and gentlemen, to defend it, even to death. In fact, the one that made that statement, Jan Hus, while being burned at the stake, screamed out, truth shall prevail. And ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that today. It may seem as though truth is being defeated. It may seem as though God is being denied, rejected, and he is. But truth shall prevail. The final analysis, the end result, the final determination. And God makes that decision, determination, truth shall prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is conveniently located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the Beltway of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Old Glory, the U.S. flag is flowing 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire family of Tools for Time to worship with the family of God in the house of God as God's word ordained it to be so. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. You're invited to drop by, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me further take a moment to set the stage for where we're going on our broadcast today when we simply make the bold statement, we must vote biblically. We must vote biblically. Ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs 29:2, the Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I believe we've been in several years of national mourning as a result of the decisions that have been made for our civil government leadership. I don't like to call it politics. God designed, God created civil government, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. And the express purpose for civil government is to act as to be a servant to God, to prosecute evil and protect good. We've got that reversed in society today. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, we must realize that on November the 5th of this year, our vote, your vote, my vote, will determine the destiny of America. And just for example, if we go with the, if the nation rules by vote on November the 5th, to go with the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz term for the next, how would you say, leadership role out of the Oval Office, if we go with that, it stands for nothing less than murder by way of abortion. It's called women's health. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Harris-Walz team goes into office, free stuff for everyone, including illegal invaders. In fact, Tim Walz in his state today, he calls the illegal invaders, he calls them new Americans, new Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, open borders, no American sovereignty if Harris and Walz are elected as president, vice president. Harris Walz teams, ladies and gentlemen, believes that God made a mistake. Not just two genders, but hundreds of genders. A vote for the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz means open showers, bathrooms, locker rooms, dressing rooms to allow the males to go into little girls' bathrooms, shower rooms, locker rooms, dressing rooms. A Tim Walz, Kamala Harris team, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, Walz just recently provided $2 million. For what? What does he provide $2 million of taxpayers' money for? For the Islamic jihadists, under the guise of the Council of American Islamic Relations. Keep in mind, Walz provided that $2 million of taxpayer money. Keep in mind, under the Tim Walz leadership as governor, Minnesota adopted a new flag. That flag is no less than the Islamic jihadist Nigerian flag being copied for the state of Minnesota. Keep in mind, Walz provided those funds out of taxpayer money. Keep in mind, remember that Governor Walz forced a lockdown during COVID. And during the COVID lockdown under the Walz administration, ladies and gentlemen, he set up snitch hotlines. S-N-I-T-C-H, snitch hotlines. Where citizens could report on citizens, neighbors could report on neighbors. And ladies and gentlemen, you weren't allowed to leave your home without a mask on. You had to wear a mask in the home, outside the home, and unless it was an emergency, you could not get in your car and drive away from your home. And if a neighbor were to see you doing that and call the snitch hotline, you could be arrested, prosecuted, penalized, fined, and even jailed. That's the position Tim Walz, as governor, takes. That would identify for you some of the things that would face America if he is elected, along with Kamala Harris. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, a Harris-Walz ticket will guarantee, listen to me carefully, will guarantee the cancellation of free speech, guarantee the cancellation of the right to keep and bear arms, guarantee that there will be no religious liberties in the United States of America. A Harris-Walz administration will make Joe Biden look like a saint. Hear me. We're on the very cusp of making decisions for the destiny of our nation. We're on the very cusp of making decisions for what we will do as a future America. Will we be a constitutional republic with a representative form of government, or will we have devolved into a socialist, Marxist, communist regime very much like Venezuela today? Christians, conservatives, and patriots, ladies and gentlemen, cannot, must not vote for a Harris Waltz ticket. A vote for that ticket is a vote against God. A vote for that ticket is a vote against God's word. Listen, everything they stand for, everything they're promulgating and pushing is antithetical to the word of God. They're pushing that which is immoral, that which is ungodly, that which is unethical, that which is unconstitutional. And if you don't believe that, do the research yourself. I'm simply saying today, we need to recognize the dangerous position we're in as a nation, as cities, and as a state, and the state of Florida today, ladies and gentlemen. Our vote in Florida, ladies and gentlemen, will include a vote on six amendments, constitutional amendments. Ladies and gentlemen, those six constitutional amendments. Listen, I'll touch on this and then introduce our guest. Since 1973, the Florida Constitution has been amended 127 times. The federal Constitution has been amended a total of 27 times in the life of the Constitution. We have taken the Florida Constitution, made Swiss cheese out of it. When we find major power brokers that realize and recognize the things they cannot get passed by the legislative process, they will pay for petitions to be signed. And to the current market today is between $3 and $10 per signature on petitions to be signed. We've had that in the state of Florida now, where there's six amendments. I'll touch on two of them, then we'll focus on one. Amendment 3 will allow the legalization of pot, marijuana, for the state of Florida. Florida will become the pot capital of the South if that is passed. And I could go into great details about how it will destroy families, etc. But Amendment 4, ladies and gentlemen, is an amendment that on the face of it is deceptive. Amendment 4 on the face of it is absolutely a dereliction of anything that would be called truth. But ladies and gentlemen, the Amendment 4 will allow abortion, if approved, it will allow abortion, that is murder by way of abortion, from conception right up to delivery as a constitutional right. So that's what we're going to be discussing today. And I don't mind telling you, I'm passionate about the issue. I don't mind telling you that we stand in the position that we must be the watchman on the wall, as in Ezekiel chapter 33. The watchman on the wall has the responsibility of warning of danger ahead. And in the warning, we need to understand what are the alternatives, what should we do, what can we do. So ladies and gentlemen, today we're delighted to have with us to discuss Amendment 4, Andrew Scherville. Andrew is the founder and the director of Florida Voice for the Unborn. Andrew, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us in this discussion that I think is a very, very important issue for everyone to hear today. Thank you so much for joining us, Andrew.
Well, I appreciate you having me back on your show, Dr. Youngblood. It's great to be here once again to discuss with you this very, very important issue of voting no on Amendment 4 in November.
Andrew, I'm familiar with your background, your history, and what you're doing, of which I am extremely grateful for. Thankful for you, your talents, gifts, and calling, and what God is doing through you to warn of what is taking place with the murder by way of abortion, and if Amendment 4 passes, what it will do. But most of our listeners perhaps do not recall our last conversation by way of Let's Face the Issues. Most of our listeners may not know you or understand something. Andrew, would you take time, just a few minutes, to tell our listeners about your background, your profession, what you are professionally, what your training and background's in, and what you're doing today, and the organization Florida Voice for the Unborn?
Sure. Well, I have a Juris Doctorate, so I've practiced law in another state for a number of years, and I've been a lobbyist in Tallahassee since January of 2020 when I founded the pro-life grassroots organization, Florida Voice for the Unborn. And we only focus on issues impacting our unborn brothers and sisters. So we're a little bit different from other pro-life groups in that regard. and we primarily focus on legislating lobbying our legislature and our governor. And since the fall of Roe versus Wade in June of 2022, we have been extremely focused on making Florida totally abortion-free from the moment of conception, because that is what the U.S. Supreme Court has now returned to the states to do within their Dobbs decision, reversing Roe versus Wade. However, since May of 2023, Florida Voice for the Unborn has been particularly focused on combating this evil amendment initiative, which would change our state constitution so that the legislature would no longer have any authority whatsoever to prohibit abortion in Florida, and not only just prohibit abortion, but regulate abortion at all. And so it's an extreme initiative that the abortion industry launched in May of 2023. And unfortunately, despite our efforts to combat it in the petition gathering stages, the abortion industry did collect the required number of signatures, and that was certified by the state of Florida in February of this year. And then we were hoping that the Florida Supreme Court would have the courage to throw this proposed initiative off of this November's ballot. However, the Florida Supreme Court, even though it's conservative dominated, disappointed all of us very greatly when on April 1st of this year, they ruled 4-3 to permit it on the ballot. And so now it's up to Florida voters like you and me and everybody listening today to vote no on this horrendous amendment so that abortion will not be enshrined in our state constitution. And as you said in your monologue, the Constitution of Florida will not continue to be the Swiss cheese, which it has become through all these holes that have been poked in it with amendments that are absolutely unnecessary. This is something that is completely unnecessary, because the proper authority for regulating and prohibiting abortion belongs with our legislature, and the legislature is who has been duly elected by the people of Florida. It's not to just basically prescribe whatever policy whims that are financed by these multi-million dollar organizations like the abortion industry to change our constitution so that they upend the will of the people through the legislature. That's not what the framers of the state constitution of Florida had in mind, when they enacted this in 1968, the latest version of our state's governing document. So it's very, very interesting that the abortion lobby has gone this route, especially since the fall of Roe versus Wade. Now that the federal so-called right to access abortion has been thoroughly debunked and eliminated by the U.S. Supreme Court, because it was never there to begin with, the abortion industry has now turned to the individual states to enshrine a Roe versus Wade-like right in each state constitution. So they're trying to do an end run around the Dobbs decision that had reversed Roe versus Wade in June of 2022. But this amendment here in Florida goes far beyond what Roe versus Wade even allowed. It's very extreme. It would, as you said, allow abortion from conception throughout all 9 months of pregnancy up until the moment of delivery. It is absolutely horrendous, and we can get into the details of the amendment itself, but it needs to be stopped. It's really demonic.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Andrew Scherville. Andrew is an attorney. He is the founder and executive director of Florida Voice for the Unborn, and we're talking with him today about Amendment 4 that will be on your ballot and my ballot in the state of Florida. And Andrew, for the benefit of our listeners, I'm familiar with it, but take a few moments, let's dig a little deeper. Who are the promulgators of Amendment 4? Who paid for the, right at 1 million signatures to have it put on the ballot? Who paid for that? Who are the promulgators and pushers of that? And then a sub question in part of that is How did, in your opinion, as an attorney, how did our Supreme Court, the state of Florida, be so misguided that they approved the faulty, fraudulent wording? I called it the preamble to the amendment. Could you speak to those two issues?
Sure. Well, it's the abortion industry that is behind this amendment. They are financing it. They are organized to promote it to Florida voters. And they have been financing it from the very beginning through their various networks. And, you know, one thing the abortion industry is good at is false propaganda. And so they are selling this as a needed amendment to the state constitution to save women's lives, which, you know, that's the complete opposite of the truth. Actually, no women have been killed under any of statutory abortion prohibitions that have been enacted, like in Texas, since the fall of Roe versus Wade. But what has happened is that the abortion industry takes the most horrific cases and they twist it into something it's not. And so they are the masters, as I said, of false propaganda. But they are the ones clearly financing this deceptive amendment. As to the answer to your second question, how did the Florida Supreme Court allow this horrendous amendment on the ballot? I think it comes down to a lack of courage. And now we're going to get into, I actually do have some good news in terms of the Florida Supreme Court, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, in the second half of your hour-long program, because there was breaking news just today from the Florida Supreme Court, which I want to leave everybody on a positive note. But it was shocking back on April 1st that our conservative-dominated Supreme Court, we only have one true liberal on there, and we have six other conservative justices, but they ruled 4-3, with several of the conservative justices joining the liberal one in allowing this amendment on the ballot. And I think it just came down to a lack of courage, because if you look at the dissenting opinions in this case, which were all written by the female justices, they each dissented and they each wrote their own one, which is very interesting. They had the better arguments, the better legal arguments, which was that the amendment violated Florida law in terms of a number of criteria that had to be met so that Florida voters were not fooled into voting for something that was a deceptive. And so that's in my personal opinion, that's what it came down to. The four men that voted to allow this on the ballot just lacked courage, because they would have come under tremendous fire from the abortion industry and its allies. But, you know, they're justices on the court. They have to look at this objectively, and they shouldn't have allowed, I believe, politics to enter into their decision, or the media's glaring spotlight on them. See, the U.S. Supreme Court did the right thing in overturning Roe versus Wade.
That's
and they
right.
did come
right.
under a tremendous amount of scrutiny, but you know they did the right thing. So it can be done, but in that instance, the Florida Supreme Court certainly did not do the right thing.
Andrew, we've got about a minute before the top of the hour news break. I'm going to read amendment for the preamble to that amendment. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. This amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. After the top of the hour news break, Andrew, I want us to go to that. I want us to take it apart. What does it say? What does it not say? What does it connote? And what is the danger of an average individual going into the voting booth, reading that, and thinking that it would be all right? Ponder that for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia.